Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Right, okay, podcast 14, Redmen TV,
Stroke
Radio. Chris, we've got a question to kick us off from Oliver Brown. I'll tell you what, we're going to do that one later. I did mark that one as my question to kick us off. I'm going to change it. Didn't even need to say any of this. Should have just done it. Michael Heffel asked a great question. It's also not him. I've not. Where have I put it?
Just that again, Paul.
No, shut up. We're in.
No, I think.
Milesy,
you're shouting shut up at me when everyone just wants you to shut up.
I've just dropped my phone. What's going on? Redmen TV podcast 14. We've got a question to kick us off. Milesy20, Clopsy20 on Twitter. He says, I wasn't able to attend the RMTV live, but how did things go? Who was in the worst state? And will you be attending any away Champions League games? Chris, do you want to answer the question to who was in the worst state? Are you qualified to answer that question?
I can freely admit that I not only was in the worst state, but I also had the most fun.
Yeah, Chris was a whirling dervish of excitement and drunkenness by the end of that. It was great. There was the moment toward the end of the night, but toward the end of your night, when you came over to say hello and you tripped up a step and effectively knocked the beer. And that was, I think, when Tom decided to take you home.
Was that in?
In the jacaranda.
Oh, that's fine. Well, then I left and then I came back because I didn't have my wallet because my wallet was in my...
Did you come back?
My wallet was in my back. I left on my own originally. And then I got outside and went, where's my wallet? And then I came back in and was like, I think my wallet's in my bag. Tom, where's my bag? And Tom had packed my bag up and put it in his car. So Tom had to walk from the jacaranda to the car park with me. And I'll be perfectly honest, I wasn't sure whether my wallet was in my bag or not. But it was, as it transpires.
Yeah. Other than that, that was part of the fun. It went great. It was brilliant. And thanks to everyone who attended. We all had a good laugh. We all had a good drink and a good sing-song. And mercifully, the Reds got a win and achieved the target of finishing the top four, because that would have been a nightmare. Your head was gone from like last Monday. Mine got progressively worse as the week went on because of that. Because I was thinking, selfishly, of course, that how do I plan a show when I've got it's going to go this way or it's going to go this way? And it was such a waste of effort to plan it both ways that I had to kind of, and I hate doing that. I like to have a little bit of pre-thought going into it. So ultimately, because it all went off splendidly.
Well, because Liverpool were great on the day.
And
that's what matters, isn't it? You know, Liverpool came out and they wanted it more than anybody else. I think there was a point at about 40 minutes where I was really nervous, really nervous. And that was at the point where I heard a fella behind me shouting about the colour of the kit and we shouldn't have changed it and we should have played in red. And I thought, this could so easily go this way. Thankfully, it was the only shout about the colour of the kit and stuff. And then Genie just does what Genie's been doing all season for us and scoring important goals. Absolutely superb. And somehow that game turned into a testimonial.
It was
one of the most nervous games of football I've ever seen.
I've never known a game quite like it. And it tells you more about, I think, about us as a fan base and just how broken we are in some respects, that we had so much riding on that game. Whereas you look at the way the manager conducted himself in the build-up to it, and the way the players all talked about, and the way the players conducted themselves on the pitch, and have done, I think, by and large, for a few weeks now. I think they just thought it's Middlesbrough, we'll win this. Whereas it mattered so much to us, so that, you know, every minute leading up to Genie's goal, I just got edgier and edgier and more nervous. And so it was a genuine feeling of just sheer relief. And that relief was exactly got more and more with each subsequent goal that went in.
Oh, look, you could almost taste it in the air, couldn't you? There was that much of a release of nervous energy. It built up for 43, 44 minutes, whatever it was, and then the arse just fell out of it.
Yeah.
And it's kind of the exact opposite of what's been happening to me all week, because as soon as that happened, everyone was just like, oh, my word. And then everyone was like, I think we need another.
Yeah.
And then we came out second half, and after a couple of minutes, I was like, this game's dead.
Yeah.
It's dead to rights. They haven't got a chance. They came out, they did play a little bit more expansive in that they wanted to try and get a few players further up the pitch and stuff. And then you realised how good we are. And it kind of saddened me, to be honest, in a way, because I just thought, if we'd managed to just break a few of these teams down a little bit earlier on this season, could have been so much different.
Yeah.
Because when we get a goal up and someone has to attack us, we are superb.
I think what was telling about that game was I think our game, I don't know if it was our gameplay as such, but there's something about the way we played in the first half. Because I think we've played a lot like that, a lot this season when it's not been great. You know, we maintained our patience. We tried to make things happen, blah, blah, blah. We did a bit of that, like, aimless ball over the top. Crossfield passes to the back post kind of stuff, which I think is like stock stuff that you do to try and make things happen. But it was telling that when the goal came, it came the way that our goals have come this season, and that was just working it around and trying to get guys around to the box. And that was typical of what the Lallana Wijnaldum roles have been, especially in the first half of the season, how many times those guys, one or both of those guys, ended up inside the 18-yard box causing havoc. I thought it was just so good, and it was, again, I keep using the word relief, but it was a vindication for the approach and all. And yeah, look, I'd have rather have done it in the first 20, but getting that goal again before half time, in some respects, if you're only going to score a goal and a half, I think it actually probably worked for the best that we scored it when we scored it. Because if we'd scored one in the first couple of minutes, you then it's nervy and it's nervy in a completely different. We didn't have time to be nervy over 1-0 because then it's half time and then you come out.
That's it. And I think a few more people probably went down for beers at half time than would have if it had been 0-0.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? There was a little bit of a celebratory atmosphere. And then when we came out second half, I said it before, you know, we were brilliant and we did exactly what we did to West Ham. We came out and we blitzed them early. And you know, for me, first half, we were having a few too many pot shots, a few too many shots from outside the area that there's just no point in them. I mean, Brad Guzan is a terrible, terrible goalkeeper, and we hit it down his throat too often. I mean, just half a foot to the side, either side. Caused him
a few more problems.
He just throws the ball in front of him. I can't catch it in one go.
I do wonder whether. I mean, look, to be fair, it's Phil Coutinho loves a shot from distance, doesn't he? To be fair,
106 of them this season.
Yeah, and how many of them have done with that shot? Like the easy roll, pre-roller to the goalkeeper, but it's. I don't think it was the wrong way to do it, because we needed to see a sign of intent from Liverpool. And there's the thing, we've done a lot of that, like, slow, patient build-up stuff, but you're not, if it's ending in the ball being blocked in the 18-yard box because you misplaced the pass, I think it in some respects, you get the crowd a bit more excited by having a few digs, don't you? Whereas I think what we did that to a point, I think that was kind of our game. Let's see if we can stick one in the top bin. Okay, that's not worked. Well, let's try something a little bit different. So all in all, like I felt like the shots almost kept us ticking over to some extent, because it gets you a bit like, oh, well, come on, stick it in the top bin, that kind of stuff. But it gave us something to put your hat on, getting a shot on target, isn't it, to some extent?
I get what you're saying. Like, I mean, personally, I don't like to see that, but I understand what you're saying. It does get the crowd up and stuff, so I'm not arguing or disagreeing too much, but there was, I think, a lot of the crowd reaction comes from one shot being blocked and then another and then another, and that's where you get that build up. Yeah. So there is what you're saying is right. You do definitely get that. But then equally, like when Nathaniel Clyne's hitting a volley after Roberto Firmino's blocked a guy and Clyne's putting it into the stands, I'd probably rather him passed.
Yeah. Yeah, no, yeah.
There's
no,
what I'm trying to say.
It's that thing, isn't it?
I think that Clyne one's a joke of a volley.
What I like, though, is that everyone had a go at trying to win the game for us. Everyone backed themselves to some extent, and that's where I think we've it's been indicative of our fall off in terms of the style of football we've been playing to some extent in the last few months, is that
I've said this a few times this year, it's the Brendan Rodgers DNA of Liverpool, of this Liverpool side, that when the pressure's on, they just revert to type. And that's fine, because if you're reverting to type, it's just maintaining possession of the football. There's worse things to do. Reverting to type could be, you know, falling down in a heap and fucking doing whatever, because Liverpool have done that in the past, God knows. So yeah, I like the fact that there are a few guys who were like, no, I've got the ability to, particularly Phil Coutinho as well. But again, it was almost like, we talked about this walking away from the match, it was like Gini had gone, give it a go.
Yeah, because I think what you were saying was, we were talking about Phil Coutinho at the time, yeah, and how he wanted to go and win the game. And then I think you'd said on the walk back, wasn't it? Yeah, and everyone stepped up second half.
Mm.
Excuse me. Everybody stepped up second half to do it, yeah.
Yeah, and I just love that notion. The way Gini went out and hits the ball for that goal is just like, no more of this fucking about. No more of this. I'm in the box. I've got the ball. I'm just twatting this. And again, it's actually not too dissimilar attitude to everything we've done prior to that point, but it was just the culmination. The ball drops to him. He reacts. He's in the right place at the right time. And again, Brad Guzan gets beat on his near post. He is, and you've kind of alluded to it already, he is fucking terrible. He's a terrible, terrible goalkeeper. He made all of our goalkeepers and all of the goalkeepers we've ever had look like they were playing a different fucking sport, like they were playing a different level of the game. I can remember three distinctly, and it might have been at least four or five times that under limited pressure.
None. You mean none. You mean none.
He just kicked the ball out of play.
Yeah.
He's terrible.
Yeah, he's terrible.
Oh, so good.
I don't think he knows what footed he is. Because he was kicking the ball with his left, and I'm not sure he's left-footed. Like, every time he kicked the ball with his left, it went out of play. Like, I think he forgot what footed he is. I think he's right footed.
I don't think he's either footed.
It was the one where it was like level with the 18-yard box, and he went to just pass it to a defender and knocked it completely out. And he put his hand up, and we were like, yeah, we know, it's your fault, but yeah, you don't need to do
put
that.
Your hand,
like,
down,
you
know,
he'd done it at the halfway. I think there was five occasions where he just put the ball straight out.
It was brilliant. And isn't it lovely, again, to have a goalkeeper who's not like a brilliant goalkeeper, not just be play shit. Play shit at Anfield. And to be fair, you know, we did that. I was a bit concerned.
He's had two good games against us the last two games he's played for Villa.
I was concerned that when you have those pot shots, that's the thing you can do. You can have too many shots, and sometimes you can get goalkeepers' confidence up. But also what happens is, if you just keep up with that, eventually the odds start to go your way.
When you're shit, yeah.
Eventually you get found out, as I always used to find. Playing that, you know. I mean, Man of the Match awards I got for in games where we got beat fucking 10-0, and I'd still pulled out 15 fucking worldies, but inevitably it's fucking going to go in if you're not that good.
The shit ones, don't
They're always the worst ones, yeah, the ones through your legs. I can't put it to words. Like, this, I'd said probably a week ago that this was the first season that I'm not completely and utterly fucking shattered. Come to the end, what's happened in the years gone by, the last like two or three weeks of the season have been like a physical, like a marathon, you know, like really like dragging myself over the line. I'm just physically and emotionally tired. And a week ago I was like, this season's totally different. I don't feel that. I'm still feeling good. I'm looking forward to making content over the summer. I'm looking forward to just, I'm just buzzing off everything at the minute. This last week has fucking killed me. I genuinely feel like that, you know, I'm so glad to have this season done, because I didn't realise how much mental baggage I was carrying around with this top four shit. And just, like I said, the Schrodinger's cat-like situation of Liverpool existing in both the Champions League and the Europa League at both times.
Yeah.
And because, look, it's not just, if we even to take our production hats off, our Red Men TV hats, whatever, off, it's exhausting as a fan. Put those back on again. And it was just that thing, you know, we were looking down the barrel of a summer, having to, you know, have to put a positive spin, but it's just a natural demeanor thing. But also, how do you plan, how do you look ahead? I just couldn't. It's quite like Steven Gerrard from the Olympiacos game. I didn't want to wake up the next day in the Europa League, because it was, I don't think mentally I could have handled another season like that.
No, I mean, I don't know what month it's starting. It's probably already started, the Europa League, for this season. So, like, we'd have had no summer, mate. It would have been, you know, straight into an umbu or whatever. Let's do a build-up show today for this week's Europa League, yeah, quali one.
Oh my God.
Can you imagine? Yeah. It's bad enough that we've got a friendly tomorrow, and I'm looking forward to that.
Mm.
I'm actually genuinely looking forward to a friendly. But emotionally, I've not finished with Sunday yet.
Yeah.
That's the weird thing about it.
Because you're still hungover.
Because I'm basically still hungover, yeah. Exactly.
Yeah, that's the thing. And there was we chatted about this before. I don't think you've not read it yet, but Paul Tompkins wrote a great article about the whole top four thing. And to paraphrase, but obviously everyone should go. If you don't read Paul Tompkins stuff, go on the TompkinsTimes.com. If not, it's .co.uk. Subscribe on there as well, because it's great. But he wrote an article about the celebrations for top four, and like, we're right to celebrate top four. And I qualify that with, you know, if it means something to you, it means something to you effectively. And he used an example of Barcelona finishing fourth on the last day of the season. They had some the greatest players ever to play the game, and they're all running around the pitch like they've won the fucking league. And like, Liverpool didn't do that. And I think there's too much. And I've got it down here as top four minge bags. There's too much minge baggery going on that says Liverpool, why can't, like, that's almost saying we can't enjoy things. And I've qualified it a few times on a few bits of content this week about, like, how it's not an open top bus. It's not a celebratory thing per se. It's not you don't get a fucking trophy for top four, despite all the jokes for Arsenal and that. But I for a club that's been in the Champions League once in 7 years, like, the good analogy, Chris, was look at the people who win the playoffs. We've effectively won a last day playoff to qualify to get promoted into a fucking into another league.
A playoff is essentially when your entire season rests on one game of football. Mm-hmm. And I think you put the point really well. We didn't just have one season rest on it. We had two seasons. We had this season and next season rested on this game of football.
Yeah.
That's an unbelievable weight, not just for a fan, but for a player, for a manager, for a club official, anything, to carry all of that. And, you know, think of it, put yourself into Klopp's position or someone who works for the team. How different your entire summer would be if you didn't qualify. And then tell me it's not important.
Yeah.
Because if anything, if one result changes 3 months' worth of your job, it's very important.
Yeah, go completely. That's exactly it. And so much of this is always selfish, you know, because ultimately we only lead our own lives, don't we? You know, and it was just that. I just, because again, I wouldn't say, like, I don't. If something's shit, I'll say it's shit. I always will do. But I see no sense in dwelling in misery and being negative when there are always positives to take from any situation. Because if you looked at only nothing but the negatives, you wouldn't get out of bed in the morning, would you? To be fair, but I just couldn't be fucked spinning another summer, another year of transition. And someone said to me, I can't remember, I apologise, someone said to me, I think on the live show at the weekend, we're not in transition anymore. This is like the first year we're not in transition. This is the first year that Liverpool are just developing. You know what I mean? It's not like, it's no longer a new manager, and it's no longer it's no longer his first summer. It's no longer we're selling our best player, and we're having to
it's very
rebuild.
Interesting point. I've not considered it at all.
And that's what it's, and we are, because you look what like Spurs, I know like Spurs we're not in transition from the last summer. You know what I mean? And that's a really good thing for us. And like I say, I said it a few times the last show. Fuck the Europa League, man. Listen, if we end up finishing third in our group and we go into it. If we get to the group, and then we end up finishing third in the group, and then we end up in it, fine, you know, whatever. At least we'll go into like the 32 or the 16 or whatever.
256.
Then, fine, it'll be what it'll be. But it's just the fucking group stage in particular of the Europa League is the absolute pits. It's the fucking pits, like, and I mean the pits with the Z. I mean those fucking scumbag fucking five-a-side pitches, just full of fucking dickheads who want to kick you. I'm sure you share that. I'm pretty sure you share the same sentiment. I couldn't have been asked with another year of the Europa League.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think look, I've had me fill. I really enjoyed the Europa League last season. It gave me one of the best memories I've ever had at a football match.
Could you tell me
stuff?
What teams were in our group?
No idea. Right, none whatsoever. But I know.
Was CSK Moscow in our group?
No idea. I know we played Man United, we played Dortmund, we played Villarreal.
Okay, tell me the order from the knockout rounds.
Manchester United, Dortmund, Villarreal, Sevilla.
When did we play Augsburg?
I've no idea. We played Augsburg. Oh yeah, because Clavin played against us and got a clean sheet.
I don't know whether that was that the 32 or was that United 32?
Thankfully, they don't keep records on previous seasons Europa League anyway.
No, thankfully.
It's like
no.
it's like the League Cup. Once it's done, they just rip up the paper and carry on. They don't even bother putting it online for you. Statzone, one of the best websites. Don't cover the League Cup. Don't cover the Europa League. It tells you everything you need to know.
But the point isn't it? Like, you know, the Europa League is an absolutely fine European competition once you get to the round of 16.
No, it's fine if you're not in any European competition.
It's better than none.
Exactly, that's what I'm saying. It is actually better than none.
Yeah. Is it better than none?
Yeah. I think it is. I really do.
It's better than none if you get to the final.
No, I get what you're saying. Look, and there'll be how many instances of me saying the exact opposite of this point over the last 7 years or something. But last season did change my opinion on the Europa League. I can't remember what happened on Sunday or Saturday. So I'm not surprised I can't remember what happened in the Europa League before Manchester United.
Sure.
That's just the way that it is. But and looking back at it over an entire season, you realise that it's a lot easier to compete without European football. Mm-hmm. But you get a chance at three trophies without it. Yeah. You get a chance of four with it. And the Europa League's a really shit competition when you're in the Champions League. And that's the moral high ground
that you have. Yeah, here's the thing. It's one of them. I think that I've enjoyed... If we'd won the Europa League, I think it would have made it easier. And the fact that we came so close, I do agree with your point to some extent. It's like European trophies are European trophies. The UEFA Cup, it's still a boss looking trophy as well, isn't it? But it's such hard graft. The Champions League place kind of makes it worthwhile. Here's the thing, the Europa League should only ever be a transitional trophy.
Yeah. So you shouldn't win it three times on the run.
Exactly.
You bastards.
No, exactly. it's something that you should win on the way to something. So like Man United, win it, great season, go on next season, qualify for the Champions League via top four, maybe pick up some silverware along the way, whatever, you know what I mean? And it would have been a great transitional trophy, I think, for us last season. But the thought, for us to go Europa League, no Europa League. Europa League is just us spinning our wheels. It's just keeping us in the same place. And I just think that campaign is such a fucking hindrance because, again, it's a whole other set round of fixtures to the Champions League as well. And yeah, you'd say they're less intensive. I mean, you wouldn't say that, but you know, you might say because you're not playing Barcelona and fucking, you know, Bayern Munich and what have you. But you come up with some, as you said, the teams you come up in that competition, it's like the FA Cup, or when you come up against a team and they just go. It's why you always have tough games. We have tough games with fucking Wolves because those guys just fucking live for it. Liverpool are too big a scalp for the Europa League.
Here's the thing that I think I've realised this season about the Europa League and watching the way that Klopp cut the squad down this season is to compete in the Europa League, you need to pad your squad out with loads of shit players because you can't afford to pad your squad out with Champions League quality players to the point where you might need 25 to 30 players. Because you're in the Europa League and nobody really gives a shit.
And you don't get the money for it.
And you don't get the money for it, exactly. So we trimmed our squad massively. I think, you know, I've gone on record and said this. I think Klopp made a mistake in January by not signing. Mm-hmm. But because ultimately he has now succeeded in getting top four, I now believe that he has saved himself £25 to £30 million of a Europa League standard player to spend that on a Champions League one.
Yeah.
And I think that was a risk that he decided to take. I personally wouldn't have taken it. I'm not the fucking Liverpool manager.
Yeah.
This is why he's the manager. He's made a call, and I think he's now got that money to spend on Champions League quality players.
Yeah.
Now I'm looking back at January and going, what a great decision. Well,
exactly. We took a spin on it, didn't we? And it makes you wonder when you look back. I'm sure if we were to go back and watch all those games again now, knowing the results, I'd be loads more. Of course, you'd be loads more relaxed because I know the end. But I think we so much of the stress was put on ourselves. To some extent, I don't think Klopp felt that. I don't think even his team felt the pressure the same way that we felt it because they've backed, they believe in what they were doing. But ultimately, when it comes down to it, is that the obviously we've got, as mentioned, we've got a playoff round essentially to get through if we want to get into the Champions League proper. San apparently was seeded for that, which should make that a little bit easier.
Here's the other thing, and you know, people might agree or disagree with this. we'll get our signings well done before the qualies.
Yeah.
So actually, it would be unbelievable and unforgivable not getting into the Champions League, but we're still going to sign Champions League quality players this summer, regardless of actually being in the Champions League or not.
I mean, that's
it's still mad, that, isn't it?
Yeah, they might. I mean, they might. Well, it might hamper a conversation or two, you know, because there's definitely something to be saying. You're absolutely playing in the group stage, but I get the impression Klopp's going to be like, "Now we're in the Champions League."
I think our business is done. Like, yeah. I wouldn't be surprised if we sign someone in the next 3 weeks.
By all accounts, yeah, no, completely. By all accounts, because Klopp mentioned it himself, didn't he? He kind of said, like, you know, he's like, he said, like, we don't, the player hunt doesn't start now. Yeah. Now that, oh, top four, right, pulls out lip, opens the Champions League envelope with the player names and hands it over to fucking, you know, whomever. You know, by all accounts, like, I think a lot of the player stuff has been done. I think players like the Van Dijk stuff, you know, if it's true what we're told, he said he's happy to join Liverpool. So it's just a matter of agreeing the deal with Southampton and blah blah blah.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up Quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's Quince.com/upgrade.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Finding your perfect home was hard, but thanks to Burrow, furnishing it has never been easier. Burrow's easy-to-assemble modular sofas and sectionals are made from premium, durable materials, including stain and scratch-resistant fabrics. So they're not just comfortable and stylish, they're built to last. Plus, every single Burrow order ships free right to your door. Right now, get 15% off your first order at burrow.com/ACAST. That's 15% off at burrow.com/ACAST.
So, yeah.
Completely off topic, and it's not on your agenda, but I didn't get to talk to you about it yesterday. What did you think of the John Terry Guard of Honour?
So, interestingly, we did this on Social Club this week, if they did it for Steven Gerrard, that'd be weird because it would have been in the 8th minute, which would have been a bit fucking shit. I'd have probably fucking lapped it up because I fucking love Steven Gerrard and he means so much, and it was a Liverpool thing. Take it, looking at it from a bit of a step back.
Was it his idea?
Apparently it was his idea.
What
a twat. I've seen loads of Chelsea fans fuming on that video in the comments. I think this is the thing. I think if you're a bit older, maybe you can look at it a bit more objectively and say, and look at it from the simple fact the matter is, it's a dead rubber of a football match, champions versus the bottom, top versus bottom. Nothing riding on that game in any way, shape or form. Goal difference had no relevance to it, etc., etc. John Terry's been a great servant, blah, blah, blah. But it's a competitive game of football, you know, and it worries me that people would agree to something like that. You know what I mean?
Because Moyes agreed to it, didn't he?
Yeah. Moyes said he agreed to it, and I just think it's a bit. I think it denigrates football a little bit. If I'm honest, and I think Sunderland have done a very good job of that themselves this season. If I'm honest, by bringing the game into fucking disrepute by being shit at football. But I don't know. It made me a little uncomfortable. I'm not so arsed. If I'm, you know what I mean. But what about yourself?
I saw loads of people fuming on it, and I think he's a bad tit for wanting it. I actually don't disagree too much with that, actually it happening. My problem comes from him being the one who led that. Yeah. Now, if his teammate said, we want to do this for you because you've been a great guy, I'd be like, you know what, fair enough, because he has actually been good. But the fact that he's instigated it, it's just
The thing for me, why does he have to come off in the 26th minute?
It was his shirt number.
No, I know it's his number, but
couldn't he have done it 26 minutes from the end, or 26 seconds from the end? You know, there's loads of things you could do.
But that's not what I'm driving at. Is that who the fuck is he? Why does he have to come off in that minute? And I know it was his number. I know it's got significance. Why not just clap for the 26 minutes, and then he comes off at some point near to that?
Here's the difference. Did you see Xabi Alonso? at the end of his career?
No.
Right, well, the entire stadium stood up and he did it right. He did it with like 5 minutes to go in the end of the game. That's what Xabi Alonso, and it just highlights the difference between two players who've both had great careers.
Yeah. I mean, if the thing is, they've, but the difference is, that wouldn't have been, that's not an orchestration to fucking kick the ball out of play so Xabi Alonso can get, to my knowledge anyway, maybe it was, who knows. But I suspect it wasn't, and that's the thing for me, is that, again, from a Chelsea perspective, I get it. Like, if it was Liverpool got the Sydney game tomorrow, Wednesday. If we were doing it in that game, it's a fucking friendly game. Do whatever the fuck you want. Kick it out on 26 minutes. It's a competitive game of football. Who the fuck are you, mate, to fucking say that, you know, they need to have that be a thing? And look, Sunderland could have said no. And David Moyes, I don't think it's been a contributing factor towards him leaving his job, like, because he's shit, and that's not a shit football club, to be fair. But the for me, it's just it's a worrying precedent, is that it's the part of the circus that football's becoming. That, like, who the fuck are you, mate, to have a, you're a fucking footballer, you're a footballer, one of thousands who've played the fucking game, you don't care how much you've won, one footballer. Who are you to fucking orchestrate anything in the football match? You should be lucky that people would clap your name and you can come off at whatever point you want. The argument is that apparently Conte is not going to play him in the cup final. So it's going to be Terry's last game, and he wanted to give the players who were going to play in the cup final some minutes, because he played a bit of reserve team against Watford, didn't he, in the week? And his rotation to his first team plays this game, so Kale needed to play, so that's why. It's all very fishy as far as I'm concerned. Yeah. I've probably talked too much about it, but it's again, I think these things exist for the fans of those clubs, really. And I can understand my Chelsea fans to be buzzing their tits off over it, but again, for me, that's a professional game of football. What next? Because there'll be a next. There'll be something. You know what I mean? Is it like what? Think about that and think, and then add something ridiculous on top, and then. Don't be shocked in 5 years' time when you fucking see that happen, because that's what happens in footy ultimately. There's a fireworks show when a fucking 26 minutes gone. You know what I mean? Something fucking shit that you would never consider a reality will eventually happen. We're going to do... Get in the bin while we're here. Just a quick continuation of what we've been discussing prior to that, the Europa League and getting the bin, Chris. I know you like it. But for me now, I'm done with the Europa League. I want consistent Champions League football for Liverpool. I don't want the Europa League to be a fucking consideration for us anymore.
Yeah, that's fine. I'm all in on that. And here's the thing that I've been saying for a couple of years now about Champions League football. I hate it when players go to clubs because they've got six games in the Champions League. Like, Sanchez wanted to get Champions League football, so go to Arsenal. That doesn't cut it for me. If you want to play in a competition, I think you should want to win it. That's why I think Suarez goes to Barcelona, because you go to a club that actually has a fucking chance of winning it, because Arsenal haven't had the chance, you know, since they were in the final, and was it 2006, maybe?
Yeah, after us.
So, you know, I don't think Arsenal... And here's the thing, I don't just want Champions League football. There's no point in having six games in the Champions League for me, because you may as well be in a competition that you can fucking try and win, and we're better suited to winning that Europa League where we are right now, today. But give it 3 months' time, we could be in a position to win the Champions League. And this is what it's about for me, Paul. Exactly. We've got to build to be able to win the Champions League, not just to exist in the Champions League. That's shit. We've got to try and win the Premier League. We've got to try and win the Champions League. And that's what Liverpool need to be doing.
Yeah, completely. And as you say, for me, it's just like our focus should be that. Absolutely. Because you've got to be in it to win it, essentially. That'll
but six games isn't enough, is all I'm saying.
Yeah, exactly. That'll come, but it won't. You know what I mean? It's one of the, for me, it's just about I think I'm probably gonna do a video on this on my channel at some point this week if I get time. But it's this idea of, we kind of laughed at Arsenal about this qualifying every year for the Champions League and stuff like that. We're not laughing because they've done it. We're laughing because they've not done more with it, you know, and that's what it boils down to. Right, Liverpool, I don't just need to get into the swing of winning the Champions League every season.
Winning it, definitely. Winning it every year. Let's get into the swing of that. Sure. And the Premier League, please.
100%. So I meant to mention this at the top of the show. Thanks to everyone who's left a comment, question, and give us a 5-star rating on the old iTunes, etc. Si has sent over some new ones. I don't think there's too many, so you've got a big opportunity, guys, in future weeks to get your names on the show. Finally, Scoard, always listen to your longer content from the website on my car journeys, but it munch my data. Top quality work, lads. Keep it up. Make sure you still subscribe to the website. Dream Summer by Rob Monson 21. If by some miracle the Reds sign all of Van Dijk, Lacazette, Naby Keita, Douglas Costa, and a good left back to go straight into the first team, where would we finish next season, and how well would we do in the Champions League? I'll be honest. I think if we signed all of those players, I think we would win a major piece of silverware next year.
Yeah, I'd agree with that.
I think that genuinely fills all of our...
This table's not wonky, Paul. I've got a stonk on.
Someone's jacking this table up. I agree. I think that would make us a very, 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 very competitive football side. Sorry, Phil, you're not playing this week. Oh no, who's coming in instead? Is it Shea Ojo? No. It's Douglas Costa. Okay, fair enough. Yeah, great. Take a seat. Go and get in your ice bath. We'll see you
Did
on Sunday.
Did you see Bascom's stuff this week on, I think it was today. Is he right for the Telegraph or the Independent now?
Telegraph.
And he's saying world-class strikers are on our list. And nobody's been talking about world-class strikers. We've been talking about forwards.
I'm going to try and do this as close to the mic as possible for audio listeners. That's the sound of me rubbing my hands together with Glee. Yeah. If you're watching on the RedmenTV.com. Yeah,
and this is
that was the sound. If you listen to this, that's the sound of Chris rubbing his penis, thinking about world class strikers. Yeah,
that's just me. I've not won.
Yeah,
apologies.
That would be amazing if that happened, mate. I can't put it any other way. So questions this week. So
did you see the guy in the Mbappe shirt at the Liverpool match on Sunday? Oh,
Mbappe!
Amazing.
Yeah.
Amazing.
Yeah.
You've shot your load so early there, Sunshine.
Yeah, absolutely. So we've got a load of questions. We got a load of Twitter, but we've just started a Redmen TV subscribers group on Facebook. So if you're a subscriber to the website, you get access to this group. And we're going to be doing a lot more of this because obviously what we're doing at the core of Redmen is about, you know, creating a little gang of us around the website. We've updated the comment system on the website as well, so we can interact a little better. And we've got this group, so we've taken questions for the podcast from there. So if you're a Redmen TV subscriber and you've not got access to that group yet, drop us an email, interact@redmentv.com. We'll send you the link over so you can get involved. You should probably have the invite in your inbox somewhere, so maybe check your spam folders.
Yeah,
because you've got the invite. We send the invite out to all the subscribers, so please do go and check that, and you can get involved. And that's where we'll be taking questions from this week. And we'll see how it goes. So, I promised questions from... Oh, this is a... Okay, yeah. Oliver Brown. Chris says, name one player in world football today or in the past you wish never started playing.
Wow. Okay, I'm going to need a minute or two because there's a few different permutations here.
Okay. I'm going to throw one out there.
Michael Thomas.
Michael Thomas is correct, yes. Michael Thomas. Sorry, Michael. All your years of service to Liverpool can also get in the bin along with the Europa League and top four minge bags because you cost us a fucking league title, you tit.
And that was it, wasn't it? That was kind of...
I mean, you made Nick Hornby's career off the back of it, like, but Michael Thomas is definitely the correct answer with that one, by the way. I think anything past that... I mean, I'm looking at Demba Ba, you know what I mean? If another striker had capitalised on Steven Gerrard falling over, it might not have scanned into a song quite as well, and it might not be a thing that fans all up and down the country still sing. By the way, Middlesbrough fans.
Oh, my word.
Why are Middlesbrough fans singing about Steven Gerrard falling over?
Fair play to them, though. They did sing Justice for the 96 as well.
Yeah, so. Fair play to you. Enjoy the championship, you dickheads. Pathetic. I think Thomas, and anything past that, though, it's really like, I don't really like him. So maybe someone like Cantona, because would Man United have, you know, was he the catalyst for Man United becoming the great side in the 90s or something like that? But a lot of it's a bit bitter. For something that directly affects Liverpool, I think I'd go with Michael Thomas. It's a solid shout for that. Okay. Omendra Kumar, given that you've shown over the episodes how good you are with analogies, do you ever feel overwhelmed with the pressure of delivering quality analogies each episode?
You know, it's not for me, this question, is it?
You know what it's like? It's like having a heavy backpack on your shoulders and climbing up an increasingly steep mountain. And it's not like that. I don't have any problems. I don't plan them. They just come out sometimes. Well, they bomb. Sometimes they bomb. Sometimes they don't work. I tried one on Social Club this week about Man United's... so I'm laughing because he knows. About how Man United had to effectively jumpstart their succession of quality players because they let too many of them die off at the end of the Alex Ferguson reign by getting that in. But I equated it because the money they spent was like trying to jumpstart your car, but you've got to get it jumpstarted before it drives off a cliff, effectively. And I didn't quite do it as succinctly or well as that. It wasn't one of my better ones, if I'm honest, so let's just move on.
Do you know what that's like? Shit.
Is it like 10,000 spoons when all you need is a knife? okay. Michael Heppel. Do you think that the live show could be expanded next year to include a proper Redmen TV awards ceremony? Could help to expand the channel further, maybe get some ex-LFC players as special guests. I'm well up for that. We did a little bit of this, the player of the year stuff, didn't we? Which was kind of good fun, getting the interaction stuff. And we've done Redmen awards in the past. I completely forgot about them this year.
It's a bit time to do them. They're just YouTube videos.
Mm. Let's do it now.
Okay.
Nah. What do you think you're for doing an awards ceremony next year?
I might be busy.
I'm not sure Phil would turn up for it.
I might be busy. I don't know.
Busy doing
winning games of football. Me?
You?
In five aside, yeah. Winning games
of football. Oh, right.
I don't know. I think the difficulty with doing these live shows and stuff is, yeah, I'm up for it, essentially.
Go ahead.
I'm up for it, yeah.
Sad. Michael Healy, if LFC ever asked you to do a show on their official channel, would you do it or rather stay independent? I don't think they could afford us now. I would do it if we were still allowed to do what we do. I would happily do a show on LFC TV, but I would if they said you can exist on LFC TV and nowhere else. Even if it was covered the costs in the same way, I'd just rather do what we do. I don't know about you.
Yeah, look, LFC TV is broadcast and it's one way and people can't speak to you. Whereas what we do is more than that.
Yeah.
So they can't offer us what we want and mm-hmm. what I get a kick out of,
yeah.
which is speaking to everybody who loves Liverpool, and they just don't have that.
Yeah, so yeah, that's it. I mean, and I'm fit, but I mean, like, I like the people who work on LFC TV. I think it's fine. I don't really watch it, if I'm honest. We use it for the highlights and that kind of stuff, and it serves its purpose. And we originally pitched the show to them many, 8 years ago now. And I'd have loved it at the time, but I think as it's gone on, the more I think, I don't mind. I've been on there probably once or twice. You know what I mean? It's fine. But yeah, I love what we do, and I think that what's funny to think is that all the stuff we've done and all the stuff we've achieved and all the great laughs we've had, maybe we'd have had different laughs and other great things, but the way we've done it wouldn't have happened that way if yeah. they'd actually just signed off on it all those years ago. So, you know, we wouldn't be where we are. It would be a completely different world, and who knows how that world would have gone. So, yeah, interesting one nevertheless. Okay, Edward Barkley. If and when we get through the qualifier, who would you realistically want in the group stages?
Celtic.
You want Celtic?
Ooh. I want big games. Yeah, all the way through. And I kind of want to know what they like. I want to, because how many times you talk about the Scottish Premier League and how and the difference and stuff. Why wouldn't you want a big game? Liverpool play better against big teams. Brendan Rodgers, former manager. You got Colo Torre there as well.
Yeah.
You got a side who were unbeaten all season.
Yeah.
Wouldn't you want to test yourself against someone
yeah,
like that?
Yeah, I think it's
better than Young Boys.
If everything's better than Young Boys, Chris. I would like to test us against.
Maybe it would be nice in the group stages. Maybe it would be.
I wouldn't want Celtic. I don't think this is now possible. I hope. I wouldn't. Oh no, actually, I don't know. I wouldn't want them in the playoff round. I'd want them, but I would want them in the group stages because we've got a really piss poor record against Celtic in Europe. But exactly that, I would. It's the Brendan Rodgers thing for me. I'd like Brendan to get the chance to come back to Anfield, give him a round of applause, and then spank his team off the pitch by being just more aggressive and being better at footy, so we could see the. I mean, it's not a fair reflection of the development of Liverpool because you should be able to Celtic. The SPFL is not a good league.
And Manchester United, they have that country thing on them. You know, the way you can't play someone in your own country because they won the...
Oh, like country protection?
If they were to get into that, they have that country protection.
I actually don't know that. No, it's an interesting one. In terms of that, other ones, I don't want fucking Real Madrid in my group again. I don't want Barcelona in my group. I would... I don't know who it would be because we're going to have to get... If you get in the group, you're going to get good teams regardless.
Would you take Ludogorets again?
No, God. A team that you can get to in a day would be nice as well. Here's the thing. We were just too much like giddy tourists last time we got in the Champions League, and that was you and I as much as anyone else. Like, Real Madrid, Real Madrid, yeah, Real Madrid. No. Because the most important thing for me is getting the fuck out of this group. You know, I would rather us... This might sound weird to some people, maybe, and I don't know how you take it, given your thoughts on the Europa League from earlier. I would rather get knocked out in the round of 16 of the Champions League and be done with Europe than get third in the group and go carry on. It'd be different if we went on and won the Europa League, say, but... You know, to progress to the semis or fucking whatever of the Europa League, I'd just get out the group.
I wouldn't be able to tell you one way or another whether I'd want to do that now, mm-hmm. because I think you can only look at it where you are in the league at the time and go, actually, for our season, say we're in second place in the league, fuck the Europa League campaign, we've got a chance of winning the Premier League.
Yeah.
And in that case, the Premier League, well, more important than the Europa League.
Yeah.
But if we're in fourth place, we haven't really got a chance at the title. We know we're going to get knocked out in the round of 16. I'd probably rather go in the Europa.
Yeah. We need to, if we're going to be a regular Champions League club, it's one of them. I'd rather get Real Madrid in the fucking semi-finals or the fucking whatever. You know what I mean? I want to get them in a knockout game because it means you've progressed. Whereas, unfortunately, it's this mentality you're saying. It's not six games a season, and you just want it to be a great experience. I don't want a bunch of shit teams. And first of all, there's no shit teams in the Champions League, by the way. But I want a team of teams who I think we can beat. And I think we can
like a Benfica or a Porto being your number one seeded team, if that's a possibility.
I'd rather, if you're gonna have the top seeded teams, I guess I don't know who the top seeded teams are, but let's say I would much rather have PSG as the top seed in our group.
Soft underbelly than Juventus.
Than Juventus or fucking Barcelona or Real Madrid or Bayern Munich. Say, you know what I mean, that kind of thing. I would like us to test ourselves.
Dortmund, Celtic, and fucking United.
Go ahead, that'll do for me. Okay, so we've got a few more questions. We'll do one or two more, and then what we're going to do, something a little bit different this week. If you're part of the aforementioned Red Men subscribers group on Facebook, we're going to be live streaming the last 15 minutes of this that we normally do just on the website. We're going to stream that into that group so you can have a little bit of interaction as well.
That does indeed work.
Okay, cool.
And this is what you get for £2 a month, Paul.
Innovation.
To be fair, they're going to be seeing this after the live streams happened.
Who is? No, this is for these are normal podcast listeners now.
No, but the live stream will be happening before this bit goes.
Oh, of course, fuck yous this week. But next week, if you were to subscribe, you would get an invite into the Facebook group and you'd be able to watch this shit live for whatever reason.
And interact with us, yeah. Who doesn't want to interact with us? All the people who didn't come to Red Men TV Live. Aidan Brannick, Simpsons, Family Guy, or South Park?
All right, okay. They've all been my number one there at different stages of my life. Yeah. You know, when I was young, it was Simpsons. I love Trey Parker and Matt Stone. Basketball is, for me, one of my favourite comedy films of all time. So I do love South Park and stuff. What was the other one?
Family Guy.
Yeah, Archer is my answer.
Okay. so here's the thing. I get, like you, I agree. I almost have to say South Park by default because The Simpsons has been shit for
longer than it was good.
15 years
longer
now.
Longer than it was good.
Yeah. Family Guy's become shit. And South Park, I can still watch new episodes of South Park and find them really funny. They're not, you know, because they're still a bit mad and they're still off the wall. So even though I don't watch any of them anymore, I'd probably pick South Park. So thanks very much for that, Amy.
Archer.
Archer's, yeah, I like Archer too. To be fair, I have a similar feeling with Archer. Maybe Rick and Morty, but if it, let's give it another season to see how well it goes. But yeah, Archer, I fell off with Archer too. Whereas Rick and Morty fucking buzzed me.
But I think my favourite comedy series at the moment has been Californication. I watched all 7 series of that now, and it was just, it had me laughing out loud so many times. Like, it was insane.
And what's the other one as well? Big Bang fell off with that. We blitzed about 8 series, that back to back, or 9, or whatever the fuck it's up to. And then I just like,
it's on 10 now.
Yeah, I think we're up almost current, and it was like, oh, I've got Big Bang fatigue from, like, you know, when you're like, I can't watch anymore. It stopped being a fucking thing for me. But yeah.
I tell you what, if you're a younger viewer and you want to go and watch a comedy show, go and watch Seinfeld.
Seinfeld's amazing. Yeah, Seinfeld's still number one. Absolutely number one. Let's do one more question on the free bit. Ross Mills.
How much is it, Paul, for a Red Men TV subscription?
For the first month, Chris, it's nothing.
And then?
Absolutely nothing. And then it's just £2 a month.
That was the final question of the podcast.
£2. Look, I don't mean to fucking batter people's heads on this, but I will. You know, I mean, look, if you like it, if you like what we do and we do for free, then that's cool. And if you don't want to pay, if you're not in the habit of paying for stuff, that's absolutely cool. And, you know, by all means, live your life how you want to live it. But what I would suggest, and I've done this on a few things, so we're coming to the end of the season, it's worth pointing out at this point that, again, if you like the free stuff, keep saying this, the free stuff exists because of the people who subscribe to the website. So if you like the free stuff, you haven't got time to watch the subscriber stuff, that's why it's £2 a month, is that they can give it more as a donation to keeping the doors open and the lights on and what have you. And that's what we do for me. You know, we are pushing more and more over the summer. We're going to be changing some things, and we've done it with the comments and this Facebook group, more interaction towards the guys who do that. We want to give more value to the people who are the people who mean the most to us, and that are the people who are the paid subscribers to Red Men TV. So yeah, perfect time to get on board. An amazing amount of content lined up in the next couple of weeks, just season review stuff, more season review stuff than you can
shake a stick.
Shake a stick at. It's going to be amazing. Squad reviews, and we've got the videos from the live show, so there's 3 of those going up on the website as well. Just boss, I cannot effuse more about how good all this stuff is. So again, if you enjoy Red Men TV and you're not yet a website subscriber, go and do it. It means the absolute world to us, and it means that we'll be back with a spring in our step and some cool new shit next season. The podcast will be taking a few weeks off. I'm away, then you're away, and we don't like other people enough to let them in these chairs. So have a few weeks off, and if you need more stuff, then as I say, go and check out the subscriber content. Subscribers, in the past, you're going to be able
We've
to come and
just gone live.
Yeah, this won't make sense if you're watching this video after the fact, but yeah, yeah, it's a thing. Guys, thanks very much for listening. Walk on.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.